tonight, not guilty. Kyle Rittenhouse acquitted on all counts. The crucial video at the heart of the case.
He wishes none of this would have ever happened.
And the loved ones of those he killed speaking out.
I think the question that most of us are feeling right now is, what can we do next?
What the verdict means for a divided nation. Plus, escaping the House of Horror. 13 children held captive by their parents.
My two little sisters right now are chained up.
Diane Sawyer's exclusive interview. The brave sister that risked it all to save her siblings.
I don't know how you had the courage.
I just felt like I have to do it.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. The trial of Kyle Rittenhouse divided many Americans along partisan lines. And today, the 18-year-old, charged with killing two people and wounding a third, walked out of court a free man.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Kyle Rittenhouse, trembling with emotion, as the court clerk read the jury's verdict. A jury acquitted him of all charges, including homicide, attempted homicide, and reckless endangerment.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts?
Immediately after, Rittenhouse burst into tears, overwhelmed by the moment.
Is there anyone who does not agree with the verdict as read? Would you wish the jury pulled?
No.
Okay.
The 18-year-old's mother and sisters breaking down in the gallery. Rittenhouse and his defense team claimed it was self-defense when he shot and killed Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and maimed Gage Grosskreutz during their protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year. Today, a jury agreed after 4 days of deliberation. Rittenhouse's attorney spoke after the verdict.
He wishes none of this would have ever happened, but as he said when he testified, he did not start this.
Lead prosecutor Thomas Binger issuing a statement, "While we are disappointed with the verdict, it must be respected. We ask that members of our community continue to express their opinions and feelings about this verdict in a civil and peaceful manner." President Biden agreeing.
I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works and we have to abide by it.
But for the loved ones of the two victims, today's verdict was a crushing blow.
If one person's life or two persons' lives don't matter, then none of our lives matter.
We know that this system is a failure. I think the question that most of us are feeling right now is, what can we do next?
No justice!
No peace!
This polarizing case, a snapshot of the deep political and cultural divisions in the country.
Kyle Rittenhouse became a symbol for a lot of people on the right. He's a hero, an American hero, a young man who took up his weapon as he has a right under the Second Amendment to protect people and property in a city that was burning. For progressives, he was a vigilante. He was somebody who injected himself across state lines in a community he doesn't know or live in with an AR-15 rifle he shouldn't have had, and he killed two people and maimed another.
For many Americans who believe that a black man who did what Rittenhouse did would have been treated differently, the verdict was painful.
There is no justice in America for the oppressed. This is a fact. If you are oppressed in America, there is no justice for you.
Some focusing their anger on Judge Bruce Schroeder, who threw out a misdemeanor gun charge on the basis of his interpretation of Wisconsin law before jurors could deliberate on it.
We saw incredible judicial bias by this judge, giving liberties that the average black and brown defendant that's here in Kenosha County never receives.
You have to understand, from day one, the judge had his hand on the scale. He was doing everything he could to allow this young man to leave his courtroom clear and free.
So you guys are full on ready to defend the property?
Yes, we are.
Rittenhouse's acquittal comes more than a year after protests spilled into the streets in the aftermath of the police shooting of Jacob Blake, a 29-year-old black man who was shot in the back 7 times by a white police officer in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
All my grandson asked repeatedly is, why did the police shoot my daddy in the back?
The shooting sparking outrage, protesters demanding justice, but turning deadly when armed men who authorities call vigilantes clash with protesters. Among them, then 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse, from Antioch, Illinois, who was seen guarding a car repair shop that night, telling Blaze TV he was armed with lethal ammunition.
We're protecting from the citizens, and I just got pepper sprayed.
And during the night of unrest, Rittenhouse shot and killed Rosenbaum and Huber and injured Grosskreutz. He later turned himself into police back home in Illinois. A jury of 11 women and 9 men, including alternates, heard 8 days of testimony in a Wisconsin courthouse. The prosecutor painting a portrait of Rittenhouse as a vigilante and an outsider.
We shouldn't have 17-year-olds running around our streets with AR-15s, because this is exactly what happens.
The defense countering Rittenhouse was a concerned citizen, protecting private property and ready to give medical aid.
Kyle was not an active shooter. That is a buzzword that the state wants to lash onto. Whenever Kyle was there, he reacted to people attacking him.
Crucially, the fatal encounter was also captured in multiple videos that were played in the courtroom.
They didn't have to take the defendant's word that he was being chased, that he was being hit. They could see on the video evidence itself what was going down on that street.
Those videos bolstering the defense's argument of self-defense. The jury asking to see them again during deliberation.
We can see what happened, who was where. It gives more context as to what's going on, and I think the context is what really helped Kyle Rittenhouse in this case.
Rittenhouse testified that in that moment, he feared for his life.
Sorry for my language. He screamed, if I catch any of you f***ers alone, I'm going to f***ing kill you.
And he broke down when he described the moments leading up to shooting Rosenbaum.
Mr. Rosenbaum was now running from my right side, and I was cornered from in front of me with Mr. Zeminski, and there were there were 3 people right there.
It's not very often a defendant takes the stand, but when they do so, and they do so as well as Kyle Rittenhouse apparently did, that can be powerful for the jury to push them past the reasonable doubt in a case.
9 days after taking the stand, he was acquitted.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
This verdict has consequences. Think of the incentives for people who are staunch Second Amendment supporters, who believe that you should be able to carry your weapon wherever you want, use it in self-defense in this way. It encourages them. We'll see more of them at protests. We'll see more confrontations.
Kyle Rittenhouse left the courtroom smiling in the backseat of a car after the verdict. His attorney says he wants to move on with his life and become a nurse. But for much of America, moving on will require more than a car ride. For some, a courtroom in Kenosha, Wisconsin provided clarity and comfort. For others, confusion and contempt. And up next, the Diane Sawyer exclusive, sitting down with the brave young woman who saved her siblings from their parents' house of horror.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
It was a shocking and disturbing story of abuse. 13 children held captive in their own home, deprived of food by their parents. But free thanks to the bravery of one sister, Diane Sawyer, with her story. Here's a preview of Diane's exclusive report.
A security camera is rolling in a quiet suburban California neighborhood. At the house across the street, in the shadows, someone quietly opens a window and slips out. Watch, there. A blurry figure stepping forward, a small, uncertain girl, heading one way. Then she turns, hesitates, and starts to run, clutching an old cell phone.
That was my only chance. At least if something happened to me, at least I died trying.
911 emergency, what are you reporting?
Help.
This is 911, do you have an emergency?
I just ran away from home.
Do you know what street you're on?
No. I just ran away from home because I live in a family of 15, okay? Can you hear me? And we have abusing parents. Did you hear that?
Okay, how did they abuse you?
Okay, they hit us, they throw us across, they like throw us across the room. They pull our hair, they yank out our hair. I have my two little sisters right now are chained up.
Okay, how old are you?
I'm 17.
What's your name?
Golden Turpin.
Okay, I'm going to connect you to the Sheriff's Department so that they can help. What? One moment, don't hang up.
I won't.
A second dispatcher picks up.
Hello?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Nearly 4 years later, this is Jordan Turpin, remembering that night.
My whole body was shaking, and when I was holding the phone, I remember the phone was I couldn't really dial 911 because, I'm sorry.
Shaking tonight?
Yeah, I was shaking, and so I was trying to dial 911, but I couldn't even get my thumb to press the buttons because I was shaking so bad, but I was trying to calm down. Thank you so much. I was trying to calm down so I could to do it. And then I finally pressed it. And when they answered, I literally never talked to somebody on the phone.
I don't know how you had the courage, never having spoken to anyone like that.
I think it was us coming so close to death so many times, and I was worried about my siblings, and when I saw them crying and worried, I just felt like I had to do it. I just wanted to do it. I wanted to help everyone.
Okay.
Is that the deputy?
Okay. Yes.
Go talk to him, okay?
Yes.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're looking at the body camera footage from the deputy as he arrives.
Hi, what's going on?
Okay. I just ran away from home.
Okay.
And I live in a family of 15.
Okay.
My two little sisters right now are chained up.
They're chained up?
Yes.
Where are they chained up at?
On their bed. Now, mother didn't chain them up just to beat me. Okay.
Okay.
They're chained up because they stole mother's food. But I'm sorry if I talk too much. Okay. I've never talked to anybody out there, so I've never been alone with a person, so this is very hard for me to talk. Okay.
How did do your parents know you left your house?
No, they don't.
Do you take any medication?
What's medication?
Medication?
Yeah, what's medication?
Do you take pills?
Oh, I don't think I've ever taken a pill before.
Okay.
Right, I haven't. But
the girl with the strange vocabulary nervously puts on a little hat, a reminder of one of her sisters who's depending on her.
Our parents are abusing. They abuse us. But the reason I called
And when I managed to get out here, this is one of the most scariest things I've ever done.
Uh-huh.
I'm terrified. But I called because my two little sisters, they're chained up right now.
And then, on instinct, he asks a question.
Do you have pictures of that?
Yes, I can show you. I actually didn't have it, and then one of my sisters told me I need to get pictures.
You have pictures of your sisters chained up?
Yes, but they're in here. Okay. I don't have proof of everything, but I have proof that my sisters are chained up. So, see?
She doesn't seem to know the word bruised.
Here, you can look at that. See, those are the places it makes it on them. And see how dirty she is? We're so filthy. We don't take baths. We don't.
How did your sisters get like this?
Okay.
Your parents chained them up?
Yes, because they stole food.
Okay.
But they stole it because they were hungry.
Who took this picture?
I did. I took those pictures.
Okay. You make sure to save these, okay?
Okay, I will.
Don't get rid of those.
I will. I won't.
Quietly, Riverside County Sheriff's deputies pull up to a house. It has been an hour and a half since Jordan Turpin climbed out the window.
So they was like, if we walk in, will they still be chained? And I was like, if they didn't notice me missing yet, yes. But if they notice me missing, they're gonna try to cover that all up. And they asked me if I wanted to come up, and I was freaking out. I was like, no. Like, honestly, I thought, like, knowing them, what if they killed me right there and there, even if the police were there?
Just saying, doing a welfare check?
Yeah.
Since a child may be in danger, the deputies do not need a warrant to enter the house. They knock for 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Promise that I'll open it.
Then, suddenly, the door cracks open.
Hi.
A mother and father appear.
How
you guys doing?
Good.
We got a call.
Friend, check the welfare here at your house.
They are breathing heavily.
Yeah, why?
You guys have kids in the house?
Yes. Okay, what kind of call did you get?
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Well, we were just in bed. I mean, like...
David and Louise Turpin have concealed a chamber of horrors for almost 30 years. Now watch as deputies start to make their way through the door.
Well, we're going
to
come in and check, okay?
And in one of the rooms inside the house, someone is waiting in her bed, eyes wide open, praying that the knock on the door means her sister made it to freedom.
Knock, knock, knock. And I'm like... And then they said it's the police. And I'm like, this is it.
Our thanks to Diane. You can see the full special, Escape from a House of Horror, streaming on Hulu. And finally tonight, it was raining money on the freeway near San Diego. Literally bags of ones and 20s pouring onto Highway 5 from the back of an armored car. Traffic stopped and people grabbed for the cash. The road shut down for nearly 2 hours. Authorities urging anyone who picked up any money to return it or possibly face charges.
This is literally insane. This is insane. Oh my gosh.
That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time on Monday. Thanks for the company, America. Have a good and safe weekend.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.